We're very blessed today to have a special guest with us. Her name is Olive, and she was rescued at the early age of 7 in the country of Uganda. And I'm only going to tell her story because she's going to tell her story in a way that's going to bless you and I believe convince you that how important this ministry is. So would you give a warm welcome to Olive Anino as she comes out this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to invite you to take a journey with me to my life growing up in the northern part of Uganda. I come from a small town called Muchwini. It's at the border of Uganda and Sudan. And I remember growing up with my grandparents because when I was born, my mother was in nursing school. And my mother kept me and my older sister Juliet a secret for a long time. But word reached my grandparents and they traveled and they picked me and Juliet up to raise us in a Christian home. My grandfather accepted Jesus when he came back from World War II. And he later on became an Anglican pastor. And he was also a chief. And so we had a lot of people that would come in our home seeking counsel. And my grandfather took it upon himself to teach the word of God. I remember having beautiful memories of my grandmother's singing. Would put blankets around the fireplace, blankets and papyrus mats in my grandmother's chair. And my grandmother would break out in song. And every time she started singing, all the other children, all the grandchildren would respond back. And it would be hours of just dancing and rejoicing. I remember learning scripture at a very young age. At the age of 4, I memorized my very first psalm, which was Psalms 23. But I also remember when I turned 5 years old, I was very excited because I was going to start school. Uganda follows the British education system, so the schools, they teach in English. I remember just being so excited, but I had to also pass a very simple test for my grandfather to allow me to start school. The test was for me to touch my opposite ear, and I remember I failed the test. I remember I was very devastated. This was a Friday. But I was also consoled because I had Saturday and Sunday to work and practice so I could pass the test and start school on Monday. Monday morning, I got up very early and I still tried to pass this test. And I didn't. So my grandmother and I went to work in the fields. We worked the whole day. About 3:30, we started walking back home. I was anxiously waiting for my friends to come back from school and teach me all the new words that they have learned. And I also remember just being so anxious. It was still early, so I went and got all the papyrus mats and put it around the fireplace, got my grandfather's tray and put it where it normally is placed. I remember sitting at the fireplace with my grandfather, just waiting for the children to come. None of the children came. None of the children that usually come in the evenings didn't come because every child that went to school that Monday was abducted. And they were being trained to become child soldiers. They were heading towards the border of Sudan where the rebel group, Lord's Resistance Army, had set up a camp. Now, when I talk about rebels, I don't talk about grown men. These are children between the ages of 12, some as young as 10, who have been brainwashed to the point of not recognizing their own family members. I remember the prayers that my grandfather prayed upon the grandchildren, prayers of protection. I remember also just things changing so quickly, where by now my grandparents had to derive a means of survival because the rebels began coming into the homes and taking the children and killing the parents. My grandmother would line up blankets in one corner of her hut and give instructions to pick the blanket and go hide in the forest. I remember my very first night hiding in the forest. I was so scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I remember walking for about 4 miles. I found this thick bush. It was raining a little bit. I didn't want to get wet, so I covered my head. And I began hearing noises around me. When I looked back, the only thing that I could see were two eyes. And within seconds, a python snake had wrapped itself around me and began to squeeze me. I knew that I was going to die, but I also wanted to be sure as to where I was going to go. I began reciting out Psalms 23, the very first psalm that I had learned at the age of 4. By this time, I was 6. When I recited the psalm and got to the end of it, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever," I could feel the snake uncoiling itself and went its way. Now, that experience showed me that regardless of what I was going through at that time, the God that I serve had not changed. He was there protecting me. I remember coming back home that morning, and our house had been burnt down. We didn't have anywhere to stay. We had to start walking, just like the other families. We were walking one single file to an unknown destination, not really knowing where we were going. I remember at that time, I only had my blanket and the dress that I had worn for days. And I recall just being so hungry for food and being thirsty for water. I remember we found a puddle on the road. I was so thirsty, I had to drink it. I drank this water, and after 2 days, my ankles began swelling because I had contracted guinea worms. My grandmother had to carry me on her back. I remember we reached this small town. We spent about 2 days there. My grandfather looked at me and told me that he did not like the person I had become. I didn't have any more smiles. I could not talk. He told me, "I don't want you to remember the bad things that have happened. I want you to know that God still cares about you. And he's holding you in the palms of his hands." And with that, he put me on a bus to travel down south to the capital city to be with my mother. I traveled down south to the capital city, and my mother picked me up from the bus station, went into the home where she stayed. My mother looked very pale, but she didn't really talk much. And I remember she told me, "You're going to sleep here with your sisters." By that time, I had another sister, Charity. There was a papyrus mat on the floor in the living room, and that is where we slept. But there was something that was going on within my home that I didn't really understand what it was. Every time my mother would call out to my oldest sister, the first thing she would do, she would put on gloves and then go inside my mother's room. And as soon as she came out, she would take these gloves off and put it in the trash. So you can only imagine what was in my mind at 7 years old. I wanted to ask my mom so many questions, but I couldn't, because I realized that she was struggling with something greater. I remember this Saturday morning. It was different because she got up really early, woke me up, got her, she had these white shoes. She got the white shoes and gave it to me with a roll of tissue paper. And she said, stuff them at the front and put on the shoes. Then she also had this dress that she had made with leftover material from her nurse uniform. She handed me the dress and I put it on. And she said, we're going to church. I looked at her. I could not really believe that she was going to walk 12 miles to the church where we were going. But God gives a different kind of strength to mothers. She walked, and we got to Kampala Baptist Church. At the entrance of the church, there was a line on the left-hand side, and she told me to line up while she went the opposite direction. I lined up, and it was the very first time in 2 years that I saw children laughing and playing. I also realized that the ones that came from the front of the line were smiling. I began to realize that there was a miracle at the front of this line, but I didn't really know what the miracle was. The line became shorter and shorter and shorter, and then it was my turn. They gave me this rectangular board that had UG1270188, and I remember holding that in front of me. And they took a picture of me. They took a picture of me, and out of that picture, they made a child packet. And my child packet ended up in a church in Sydney, Australia. And a family picked up the packet, and they signed up to sponsor me. Of all things that God could have used, God used the child packet to start that transformation that I needed. Because when I joined the Compassion Program, I had a lot of anxiety, so depressed. Couldn't sleep at night because of nightmares and fears of being abducted, of being unsafe. When I got my very first letter from my Compassion sponsor, it said, "We love you, we love children, and we'll do everything in our power to release you from poverty in Jesus' name." And they did just that. I remember them writing to me regularly. They're originally from Holland, so they're Dutch. They migrated to Australia about 45 years ago. My Compassion mom was a stay-at-home mom. I remember her writing to me and telling me that she was a homemaker. Then I wrote back and asked, "Does a homemaker make homes?" Then she had to write back and tell me what her schedule looks like for a day. I remember just anxiously waiting for these letters. I would share my letters with my friends. But I also remember the transformation that began within my home. The pastor would come at home. The ladies would come at home to see my mom. All this time, I had no idea what was going on with my mom. I remember her health got so bad that my aunt, Aunt Eudius, she came at home and took my mom to the hospital. And while in the hospital, my Aunt Eudius contracted meningitis, and she passed away in the hospital. So my mom had to be released home. My mom came home, and she began to sing this song, "It Is Well." It is well with my soul. And those were my mother's last words. She had HIV/AIDS, and it killed her and left three of us. My aunt had five children. I remember the people that owned the home where we stayed. They came and threw all our stuff outside. I remember the pastor coming, Pastor Andrew Kim, and then talked to my cousin, my oldest cousin. Then we had to move in my cousin's home. It was a one-bedroom home. There were eight of us in there, and the oldest was 16. I remember we had food. We had clothing. Everyone in that home went to school. Everyone had a mattress to sleep on, all because I was in the compassion program. I also remember joining a boarding school because then I had more time to focus on school. And in my junior year, I got really sick. And they realized that I had contracted pulmonary tuberculosis. I was admitted into the hospital for a whole year. It was heartbreaking because I watched as children died around me. But because I was in the compassion program, I got the medication and the food that I needed for the medication to work. And after the 1 year, I was completely healed, went back to school, picked up the sport of volleyball, and I was recruited by South Carolina State University to play volleyball. After that, I went on to get my double master's from the University of Georgia. And I now work in Atlanta doing suicide prevention. As you can tell, my journey started with the child packet. God was able to use so many different people to get me to where I am today. I have a challenge for you. If you're a sponsor and you don't write, you have to write. You have to write. Because if you don't write, the devil will use someone else to steal that child. And if you were not a sponsor, I challenge you to start a relationship with a child and tell them about Jesus. You can sponsor another child. I sponsor three. And it's been a blessing. Because for me, 32 years ago, when my compassion sponsors picked up a packet, it wasn't just a packet they picked. They picked me, and they forever changed my life. Let's pray. Kilegapawanwa, Wanamati Polo, New Ben Maling, K Merubin, Ginma Merukitiwi Lovo, Achalo Kitiwi Polo, Mewatin Chamewatin, Gonjbal Mewa, Machalo Wana Gonjum Balbotwa, Pete Wani Omachwin, Entela Botarach, PNK, Kidit, Kideo, Bed Mary, Nianma Potsum. Amen. Thank you.